Welcome all. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We welcome all of you to worship on this bright, cold morning. We ask that you would take the red friendship register, which is found in your pew on the aisle, pass it up and down the pew and sign your name so that you can get to know one another as you walk down the long hall and enjoy a time of fellowship at coffee hour. We thank Betsy Homer, who has a special note of thanksgiving to this congregation as you have walked with Betsy and her family through her husband's long illness with cancer and through his death, and now through the time of loving Betsy. She loves you very much and wanted to host our coffee hour. Thank you, Betsy, so much.
This evening, we gather with others at the Glenn Sanders Mansion. Some 23 or 4 of us have signed up ahead of time for an evening of storytelling with our own Kent Bushman and two other Reformed Church in America storytellers, Joe Doolittle and Harlan Ratmeyer. It's not too late you don't have to sign up, just come. And with your check for $40 to the Story Circle, you can read about that in the bulletin. It is too late to get reduced rates, but come anyway. And the rest of you, we'll see you all tonight at the storytelling event. Looks like fun.
Fowler Spaghetti Dinner, Saturday, March 21st, our time of fundraising to send our kids to Camp Fowler this summer. We would love to raise enough money so that we could give $150 scholarships. Camp costs $400 a week now, and we'd love to be able to support our kids with $150 scholarships. Plan now how you can participate.
Seniors, you're all invited by the younger people of our congregation, our youth group, to a Valentine's Day luncheon. Sign up for that outside of my office door so they make enough soup. If you think you might be a senior but don't know for sure, you are.
Men, you have an opportunity to go to Camp Fowler on retreat. There is still room for lots of you to go. What a wonderful opportunity. The women spent a weekend in Epiphany, and now you'll have a chance to go in March. See that notice.
Last week, after we announced it, 28 of you signed up for group seats for the Gibson Brothers concert March 27 at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall. One half of the Gibson Brothers are in worship today. Lee, it's wonderful to have you here. You're not traveling today. The Gibson Brothers were named Bluegrass Band of the Year 2 years ago by the International Bluegrass Music Association. I'm so glad that Jan is standing over on this side this morning, because she can sing, and I am not quite the singer, but Lee can really sing, and his brother. Join us. There's a March 1 deadline. That's for us to confirm the number of group seats, but we are already, you know, telling the music hall how many seats to reserve. So the quicker you sign up, the better we are enabled to make it possible for all of us to sit together. So look for that notice.
Don't know who the Gibson Brothers are? Go online to that site and you'll find out. I never liked bluegrass. Now I love bluegrass. Yeah, next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, isn't it? I know, those Patriots and those Seahawks. But we have a great opportunity to celebrate by bringing canned goods that will go to our Scotia Food Pantry, and pennies and cash that will go toward the Sikkim Food Pantry on Albany Street in Schenectady. A couple of different ways that we can serve those who are hungry at this time of year, particularly, who I sometimes don't think about when I'm planning my Super Bowl party. See that notice and participate in whatever way you can. And Camp Fowler, you've asked if we are providing volunteers for a particular week in Camp Fowler this summer, usually we take a week and we tell everybody, let's all go together. Well, Aunt Heather Kramer is going to lead week 60, right? And that is a week called Una Tierra, One World, for kids grades 3 through 12. That week already has all its volunteers provided. So we're going to take the whole summer, and you go be a volunteer wherever you can, as a working in the kitchen, working on maintenance, or working in a cabin. There are many opportunities. Linda Willoughby has already signed up. The Rosenbergs are already signed up. T. Munson has signed up. And somebody else that I haven't remembered. But make sure that Camp Fowler is somehow a part of your summer, too. See that notice.
And now we gather to worship God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the light of the world and the one in whom there is no darkness at all.
And lighting the Christ candle this morning are Carl and Debbie Griffith, who greeted you on the way into worship this morning. Good morning.
Friends, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the Psalms. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us.
Thank you.
am sure that the one who has already begun a good work in you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We sing our faith which says we have a rock that is our shelter, our shield, and the rock on which we stand. And yet we come knowing that so often our knees are quaking, and there are many places where we have fallen away from our faith, where we live lives unassuredly. And we prepare to confess our sins, that the one who loves us may hear our confession, promise new life, and give us a second, a third, and a fourth chance. Then let us pray our prayer of confession together. Most merciful God, your Son, Jesus Christ, was tempted in every way, yet remained without sin. I confess before you my own sinfulness. I have hungered for that which does not satisfy. I have compromised with evil. I have doubted your power to change and renew me. Forgive me my lack of faith. Have mercy on my weakness. Restore in me such trust and love that in the week ahead I will follow your way and find delight in doing your will. Amen. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor deal with us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the sun rises from the sunset, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. In the name of Jesus Christ, then, I declare to you that our sins are forgiven. Amen.
As grateful people, this is how we are called to respond to the love that our God shows us. The prophet Amos spoke, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. Hate evil and love the good. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." This is how we are called to live. And now, as a sign of our desire to live as we are called, we present our morning's gifts and our offering.
Thank you.
let us pray together. Grant me, O Lord my God, a mind to know you, a heart to seek you, wisdom to find you, conduct pleasing to you, and a hope of finally embracing you. To that end, receive these gifts in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We turn to God's holy word as it comes to us from the very short, wonderful book called Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of God, the people of Nineveh, believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And from the gospel according to Mark, the gospel which begins, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God," and then goes on and talks about John the baptizer preparing the way of the Lord. And then further we read, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, repent and believe the good news.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now will the children join me at the front. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I heard a distant voice. Ah. Oh, did everybody have breakfast this morning?
Yeah.
Yeah? Did you?
I had KFC.
But we all had breakfast.
Yeah.
Whatever variety and ilk it was. Boxes of cereal in my cupboard and bananas on the countertop and milk in the fridge, orange juice in the fridge, coffee in the coffee pot. How blessed, why does that make me cry? How blessed we are. And I take it for granted that when I go home, I will open my cupboard and I will be able to make my lunch and I will be able to have dinner tonight. How blessed we are. Next Sunday, we're going to remember all of the kids who might not have cereal in their cupboard, who might not have breakfast. It's true that even in our country and even in the schools that you go to, there are kids who are not well prepared with having breakfast in the morning. And I take that for granted. And next Sunday, we will have a chance to remember all those who might wish they could have a breakfast. And maybe we could bring in a jar of peanut butter or a box of cereal or something else that we have usually every week for breakfast, every day for breakfast. I wonder what you wonder about that. Are you wondering? Some kids don't even have parents. Some kids don't. And aren't we grateful that you have a mommy and a daddy and that the rest of us figure it out along the way and we take care of each other, don't we? Some kids don't even have parents. Some kids don't even have food. So next week when we come to church, what are we going to try to remember? Not just kids, adults too. What are we going to try to remember? We're going to try to bring one part of food for every person. If we look around and see all the people, that's going to be a lot of food. Wouldn't that be great to have all those boxes of cereal? Wow, all those jars of peanut butter and jelly. Let us always give thanks for everything that God has given to us, that we are made to live in family, that we are given out of the abundance so that we have breakfast and lunch and dinner, and we give thanks to God. How blessed each of you is. Let's give thanks. We praise you, O God, for the food that you give to us, that you grow, that you give rain and sunshine. We thank you for farmers, for those who pick the food and process it, and we thank you that we are able to bring food home, that we have so much out of the abundance. May we bring with grateful and joyful hearts an offering next Sunday for those who need food for the body and good news, food for the soul. Will you bless these children? They are such a blessing to us. Make us a blessing to them. We pray all things in your name. Amen. Let us sing together. may be seated. Last week, Pastor Craig preached on the first part of Mark, where Jesus called the fishermen, and they dropped their nets, dropped everything, and they followed Jesus. Did they remember the story of Jonah? What happens if you don't follow when you are called? God called Jonah, and he went the other way, didn't he? Maybe those New Testament fishermen remembered that and dropped everything and followed Jesus. I wonder. That story of Jonah is a marvelous story. I think it's two pages in your Bible. Sit with those four chapters and read it sometime today. It's a marvelous, marvelous story. Yes, you know the part where he went the wrong way and got swallowed by a whale or a great fish and got dumped onto the beach and then went to Nineveh and got upset again, had conversation with God, Jonah. Because that story, that short book called Jonah, is about us. It's not so much about Jonah. I think having known many of your stories, it fits so many of us. And Jonah is closer to a New Testament story than it is to an Old Testament story. It's about a big God that rules, yes, the sea and the land. It's about God's love for all of creation. God's grace is for all. Foreigners, too, pagans can learn of the one true God of Israel. Jonah, a story for all of us. Now, it's still the season of Epiphany, the season when we learn about Jesus' ministry, when we grow the church in learning and in faith and in maturity. Epiphany. It's when we particularly listen for God's call on our life, when we ordain and install new consistory members, when we call for volunteers in Christian education, when we ask for volunteers for Camp Fowler, when we call on our young people to confirm their call to faith through their confirmation classes. It's Epiphany, the season when we listen for God's call on our life. Well, Jonah got a call to go to an enemy city, Nineveh. Bad, violent, fighting people lived there, pagan enemies. Think of going to Syria or Baghdad or Iran or Boko Haram in Nigeria. Think of that kind of danger and fear. Jonah got a call to go to Nineveh, and he ran the other way, 750 miles. Tarshish was west of Palestine. Nineveh was east. He ran to Tarshish, not just from an unpleasant task of preaching to the enemy, but it's clear in the book that he was fleeing the Lord. Me too. You too. Flee the Lord when the Lord calls us sometimes. Again, I know enough of your stories to know that some of us have fled. Some of us have turned around. Some of us are still fleeing, not just from an unpleasant task, but fleeing from the Lord. Jonah, it's a story of us. During Advent and Christmas and Epiphany, I try hard to slow down and add more quiet into my life. I like to take time during Advent and Christmas to make sure that I know where I am, because there's a lot of places that'll tell me where I should be. In the store and in the store and in the store. And I know that when we get busy, it's easy to get sidetracked from my walk with God. It's easy to get derailed. So particularly during Advent and Christmas, I follow a couple of websites and writers who help me. And in a recent Epiphany retreat with Methodist minister Jan Richardson, she wrote, "It's been another day of detours. I am not where I thought I would be." She's not even 50. She lost her beloved husband in Advent last year to a brain aneurysm. They'd been married for 3 years. She writes, "It's been another day of detours, and I am not where I thought I would be." Me either. How about you? I'm not where I thought I would be. I recently told you that 10 years ago, I was mourning having my second kid go to college. Ugh. I know it was just Ithaca, but you know, it got pretty quiet. And I was mourning and trying to figure out what was I going to do if I wasn't mother to Judd and John and they weren't present in my house. And I wasn't real happy at that time in my life, and I asked for a sabbatical and was planning on having a sabbatical, but instead on the Sunday that I was supposed to be beginning my sabbatical, it was a February 1st-ish kind of date, I came to you and I said, "Well, got my sabbatical. I have breast cancer." And we went through wonderful treatment, and it was easy, and that was that. And boy, that wasn't where I thought I was gonna be. I thought I was gonna be in a wonderful house on the Atlantic Ocean doing a silent retreat for a month. I was doing some other things then, wasn't I? How often don't we end up where we didn't think we would be? Are you where you thought you would be? Jan Richardson went on to quote Lorena McKennett, Canadian musician, harpist. You know Lorena McKennett? Whoa. She is a great, great harpist and singer, beloved by our congregation's late harpist, Linda DeBritta. And Linda would give me songs by Lorena to sing. Remember Lorena McKennett? McKennett wrote in her liner notes on her CD called The Book of Secrets, she wrote, "In the end, I wonder if one of the most important steps on our journey is the one in which we throw away the map." She was leaving beautiful Celtic, high-voiced, melodic singing and going into Near Eastern raga-type things that were very, very different in sound than to where she had originated and where she became popular. And she was throwing away the familiar music that she knew and going into a different field where she felt called. So the journey where we throw away the map. Jonah, too, went the other way. He ended up in the dark, damp belly of the great fish. But the Lord provided that great fish, didn't the Lord? And then he was thrown upon the beach. What would it take for Jonah to finally get to where he was sent? And the passage that I read this morning was, "And the word came a second time to Jonah. That's pretty good. The word has come to me several more than two times. I think probably to some of you, the Lord has sent God's word several times too. How many times does God save Jonah from the deep? How often does God save us? How many times does God say again and again, go, come and follow? Go, come and follow. Fred Craddock, great preacher, has a wonderful story that helps illustrate the question, where are we going? What is your map? What kind of God do you follow? What kind of faith do you proclaim as the good news? He writes, when I was pastoring in Tennessee, there was a girl about 7 years old who used to come to our church regularly. She'd come to Sunday school, and sometimes her parents let her stay for worship. They didn't come. They were very faithful in dropping her off. They had moved to Tennessee from New Jersey with the new chemical plant. He was upwardly mobile. They were both very ambitious, and they didn't come to church. There wasn't really any need for that, I guess. But on Saturday night, the whole town knew about their parties. They gave parties, not for entertainment, but as part of that upwardly mobile thing. They invited the right people right on up to the boss. And those parties, they were full of drinking and wild and vulgar things. Everybody knew. Everybody. But there was a beautiful girl every Sunday in worship. One Sunday morning, I looked out and she was there. I thought, well, she's with her friends. But there were mom and dad. And after the sermon, at the close of the service, as is custom in my church, there came an invitation to discipleship. And mom and dad came to the front. They confessed their faith in Jesus Christ. Afterward, as I greeted them, I said, what prompted this? They said, well, do you know about our parties? And I said, yeah, I heard about your parties. They said, well, we had a party again last night, and it got a little loud and got a little rough around the edges, and there was too much drinking, and we waked our daughter, and she came downstairs, and she was on about the third step looking. Oh, she said. She saw that we were eating and drinking. And she said, can I give the blessing? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. And she ran back upstairs to bed. We got to be going now. We'll see ya. The place cleared out in 2 minutes. Everybody picked up their coats and ran out the door. So, Mr. and Mrs. Mom and Dad are picking up the crumpled napkins and the wasted food and the platters of dirty glasses and leftover sandwiches. And they take them, each has a tray, and they meet beside the sink on either side. And they look at each other, and he expresses what both are thinking. Where do we think we're going? The moment of truth. Where do we think we're going? They followed their daughter to church. Yes, somebody handed them something of a map, didn't they? Their young child. Where are we going? How many times does God say to us, where are you going? So Jonah set out, and Jonah went to Nineveh. He did what he'd been told to do. He told the city to repent, and the city did. They turned from their evil ways, God saw, and God did not overthrow Nineveh. What a great preacher he must have been. But this was displeasing to Jonah. But not to God. There are three references to how God felt about Nineveh. Nineveh was a city important to God, a city for which God had great compassion, a city that attracted his tender concern. Now, God had not deserted Jonah when Jonah had made a huge mistake and gone the wrong way. When Jonah had gotten on a ship, was thrown into the water, God rescued Jonah, didn't God? God did not desert Jonah nor an evil pagan city. So why would that make Jonah mad? Why does God's unreasonable, extravagant grace make us mad? This morning, as our words of assurance, I used the 103rd Psalm, and you, in reading the fourth chapter of Jonah, you would see there that Jonah says, well, I knew you to be a gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, using the words of the 103rd Psalm. And Jonah goes on and complains bitterly about God's love of the sworn enemy, the Ninevites. His disobedience to God's initial call, you know, that was one thing and maybe understandable because he didn't want to go to the city. It was an improbable task. But there's something very dark about the second failure. Why do we sometimes prefer misfortune for others? We prefer another's misfortune and divine judgment rather than God's shalom. Why are we not people of God's shalom for all of God's world? In some sure and certain way, we know that God loves all of God's creation, God's people, equally. But God especially loves the least, those whom we might say kind of lost, even those whom we hate. Now, I know you don't hate anybody. But in our language of generalizations, we often have prejudices and speak about groups of others that we dislike. And then we complain about God's grace to those people that we don't like, rather than celebrate it. And I ask us then, what is harder to receive? God's generosity for yourself, you know, saving you? Or is it harder to extend God's grace and extravagance to others? What sort of God are we called to follow? What is that rock on which we stand? It is a God who calls us beloved and says to us, go, call one another beloved, and live like you mean it. We follow a God who overwhelms us with grace, grace that makes us mad about others, but it's the same grace that has saved us and given us a second and third and fourth chance. The morning psalm begins, God alone is my rock and my salvation. Why would we run from such a God? I challenge us as we go through this epiphany to listen not only for God's call on your life, but that you live out that call in witnessing to the good news of forgiveness and grace, not only in your own life, but in the life of the least, that you might believe in the God who gives a chance for others, the God who gives you too a second and third and fourth chance and an opportunity to begin again. May we live out the good news of the gospel in a new way in this new year. Amen. This morning in the notes about our people, you see that Jerry Hamm is at Ellis Hospital, and we pray for Jerry and his wife Norma, their son Dean and Julie, and pray for them as they make decisions in the coming days. We pray for Norma Dreslow as she is living now with her daughter Kathy Lehman and John. We pray for strength for her. She is weak, and we pray for strength and for gaining ground and healing in the coming days. Sure, Craig and I are supposed to get on a plane early Tuesday morning. So, and we are grateful that we go with much joy on a vacation with my sister and brother-in-law to Florida, and we're grateful, Richard Doyle, for your leadership while we are gone. You may call the church office always and Richard Doyle for pastoral care in the time that we are gone. Is there anything else? Let us pray. Beloved God, who calls us to follow you, be with us as we decide whether to continue on as we are, or we decide to turn around, repent, and begin again, following in your footsteps. Tarshish or Nineveh, help us decide. May we live with conviction in seeking after and following you. We turn to you from the perplexities and uncertainties which daily confront us. We pray for a relief from those things that frighten us. We pray for sanity, for courage amid our fears, for guidance in the choices that we make. May we live as calm and strongly convicted people, assured in our faith of the promise of eternal life. People of hope. We pray this day for those who lead our government, both in our state and in our federal government, officials whom we have voted into office. We pray for our president and our governor, and those who work with them to lead, make them humble and wise in word and plan. We pray also for all those who lead from the judge's seat and from the congressional office. We pray for those who write and report our government's actions. And we pray for truth and compromise and peace for our country's conversation and its future. We thank you for those who declared a vision of what this country might be. All those who were prophets calling their nation to listen to you. Give us positive voices as we speak then of our nation. We pray for those who are ill in body or in mind, those who suffer from depression, addiction, chronic pain, or illness. And we pray, as the children prayed this morning, for those who have no parents, for those who hunger in body and in soul, those who are victims of violence. We pray for those who care for others,
who make decisions of health care, those who support children or parents. Give relief, rest, patience in the journey ahead. And particularly we pray for Norma and Jerry. May Jerry rest well, secure in the love of his family and in the prayers of his congregation. So we pray also for Norma Dreslow as she grows stronger in the care of her family. Give them strength and patience in the days ahead. We pray too for our teenagers who find it hard to make their way. We pray for those who mourn. We pray for those whose families have been changed by illness or broken relationships. May we bring a healing word or silent companionship to those whose lives have been torn by sorrow and mourning. And we pray for those who lead this congregation, for our new consistory and council leadership. Grant us clarity of vision, we pray, that we may go through the coming months with confidence and thanksgiving. May we trust those who lead us through change. Save us from squandering our time and wasting our energies on trifles and complaints, on that which does not last and cannot endure. And in this season of Epiphany, when we remember the Magi from afar, may we too seek the Christ and adore him, leaving our nets to follow. Keep our eyes lifted upward to the stars that we may be people of hope. And may we learn well from Jesus who taught his disciples, he who teaches us still. Deepen our faith as we model our lives after your precious Son, in whose name we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. To love and to serve the Lord, and may God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be with us all this day and even forevermore. Amen.